A global day of prayer for Burma was held over this past weekend to draw the attention of the international community to the problem of continuing repression by the country's military regime. At the event in London, several prominent personalities gave an update of the country's human rights situation, whilst representatives of the country's main ethnic minorities spoke about the plight of their people. Among those speaking at this day of prayer was Ben Rogers, who has just returned from a visit to the region, where he met with internally displaced people belonging to the Karen and the Mon ethnic minorities. Rogers spells out the main purpose behind this global prayer initiative.
Certainly more awareness in churches and other groups throughout the world. It was initiated a few years ago, actually at the request of Aung San Suu Kyi, who met with an American Christian who visited Rangoon. And she said to him, you know, I know that you're a Christian. I know that Christians believe in prayer. Please, will you ask Christians around the world to pray for Burma? And indeed, not only Christians, but all people. And so that's how it began at her request. And its purpose is to raise awareness and also to dedicate ourselves once again to standing in solidarity with the suffering people of Burma.
Burma, also known as Myanmar, has been ruled since 1962 by a military dictatorship which suppresses almost all forms of dissent. The regime stands accused of gross human rights abuses, including the forced relocation of civilians and the widespread use of forced labour. Although endowed with fertile soil and valuable natural resources, Burma is one of Asia's poorest countries and its economy is riddled with corruption. Separatist rebels of the Karen people have been fighting the Rangoon government for half a century for greater autonomy, and military offences against the insurgents have forced tens of thousands of civilians to flee their homes. My colleague Susie Hodges talked to Ben Rogers to find out more about the plight of these displaced people and the situation in general inside the isolated nation.
The situation in Karen State continues to be as dire as it has been in recent years, and I visited a camp of internally displaced people inside Karen State who have fled the Burma army's offensive over the last year, and I met people who had the most horrific stories, people who had seen their sons killed, beheaded in some cases, people whose husbands had been killed and horrifically mutilated, eyes and ears and noses cut off in the most grotesque way. So the situation in Karen State is absolutely horrific. The situation in Mon State is slightly different because they have a ceasefire with the regime. But even though they have a ceasefire, human rights abuses continue, particularly in terms of forced labor, sexual violence, and land confiscation. So the situation really hasn't changed in Burma at all.
So how would you describe the plight of these internally displaced people? And there's about a million of them, isn't there?
That's right. Well, their plight is very serious indeed. And I think it is one of the world's forgotten tragedies, but it is on a par with places like Darfur. The difference is that it's been happening over many years rather than in a sudden crisis, as we've seen in Darfur. And their plight is terrible. Many of them are on the run in the jungle, literally just under the trees with no food, shelter, or medicine. Those who've made it to the camps, like the one I visited, in some ways are the fortunate ones. There are hundreds of thousands who have not made it to the safety of the Thai-Burma border and who are trapped in the jungle, extremely vulnerable indeed.
What percentage of these ethnic minorities that you visited, the Karen and the Mon people, are Christians?
The Karen people are about 40% Christian. The Mon people are the percentage of Christians would be very tiny indeed. They're overwhelmingly Buddhist. But the Chin and Kuchin people, who I didn't visit on this trip, but I have done on other trips, the Chin are on the India border and the Kuchin are on the China border, they are both 90% Christian. So the major Christian ethnic groups are the Chin and Kuchin, and the Karen, about 40%.
How would you describe the morale of these people? I mean, despite sanctions, despite being considered almost as a pariah state, you know, nothing really changes in Burma. You know, the military regime is still firmly entrenched in power. I mean, are people losing hope about ever getting democracy to their country?
I think people remain very committed to their hope for democracy and change. I think they display a remarkable resilience and courage. But yes, I think some of them are beginning to question, you know, when it will happen. And I think all we can do is encourage them that there are people around the world who stand with them and will continue to stand with them until change happens. Most of them have still a remarkable degree of faith and courage and resilience, but it is very hard to maintain that, I think.
When it comes to returning briefly to this question of repression and persecution against Christians, did you see on this visit any fresh evidence that suggests this is still very much going on?
On this particular visit, I didn't, but that was largely because I wasn't focusing on that issue for various reasons. The purpose of the trip was twofold. One was to take a senior member of parliament, the shadow Secretary of State for International Development, to the Karen IDPs for him to see the situation. And then the second purpose was to establish contact with the Mon, who, as I say, are predominantly Buddhist people. So it wasn't really a focus on this trip. But I continue to hear from particularly Chin and Kuchin contacts continuing cases of restrictions and persecution. And it is certainly ongoing, but on this particular trip, it wasn't a focus.
And is support for the detained opposition leader and Nobel Peace Prize laureate Aung San Suu Kyi still as strong as ever?
I think it is. When I was there, people in Rangoon, several people referred to her. I was quite surprised, actually, that they did refer to her by name, because usually I had heard that people were very nervous about even mentioning her name. And one person wanted to take me past her house. And although there's a roadblock there, it is possible to drive past. And I was able to do that. So I think there is definitely still very strong support. And in the ethnic groups that I spend most of my time visiting, Aung San Suu Kyi is the only Burman democracy leader that all the ethnic groups trust and respect. So I think she is the one person that can unify all the people of Burma.
But is there any sign at all that the military authorities are prepared to loosen their grip on power somewhat, allow even a glimmer of democracy?
Really very little sign of that. They are going through a charade of what they call a national convention to draw up a new constitution. And they say that they will put the draft constitution to the people in a referendum and then hold elections. But the problem with all of that is that the National Convention is entirely made up of hand-picked delegates. The National League for Democracy and Aung San Suu Kyi and the major representatives of the ethnic groups are all excluded from that process. Nobody has any trust that the referendum, if it happens, will really be free and fair. Everyone expects that to be rigged. And then the conditions laid for the subsequent elections, if they happen, are also heavily rigged in the regime's favor. They've created a civilian version of the military regime known as the USDA, the Union Solidarity Development Association, which they're trying to build up as a political party. Basically, the USDA is a militia, a group of thugs who are just more of the same. And the fear is that elections, if they do eventually happen, will just simply be used to rubber stamp the regime's power. So they're going through this charade, but it's really it doesn't hold out any real prospect of democracy.
And meantime, the economic situation and the poverty of the people, how's that?
Well, very bad. I mean, the most vulnerable people, I think, are the internally displaced people whose villages and homes and crops and livestock have been destroyed and who who are on the run in the jungle. But in the rest of the country also, job opportunities are very limited. And most people that I speak to, I ask them the question, is this caused by the regime's mismanagement or is it caused by international sanctions? Most people that I speak to say that it is not caused by sanctions. It's caused by the regime's policies. And I think there is a feeling that actually sanctions are not strong enough. Many people say to me, you know, the U.S. has sanctions, but there are no really meaningful EU sanctions. But the economic situation is certainly very bad indeed.
My colleague Susie Hodges speaking there with Ben Rogers of the London-based Christian Solidarity Worldwide.